A few days later, what was not my amazement to learn by my own eyes and ears that Eric and Christine Daae saw each other, and to catch the monster stooping over the little well in the Communists' Road and sprinkling the forehead of Christine Daae, who had fainted. A white horse, the horse out of the Profeta, which had disappeared from the stables under the opera, was standing quietly beside them. I showed myself. It was terrible. I saw sparks fly from those yellow eyes, and before I had time to say a word, I received a blow on the head that stunned me. When I came to myself, Eric, Christine, and the white horse had disappeared. I felt sure that the poor girl was a prisoner in the house on the lake. Without hesitation, I resolved to return to the bank, notwithstanding the attendant danger. For 24 hours I lay in wait for the monster to appear, for I felt that he must go out, driven by the need of obtaining provisions. And in this connection I may say that, when he went out in the streets or ventured to show himself in public, he wore a pasteboard nose with a mustache attached to it instead of his own horrible hole of a nose. This did not quite take away his corpse-like air, but it made him almost, I say almost, endurable to look at. I therefore watched on the bank of the lake, and weary of long waiting, was beginning to think that he had gone through the other door, the door in the third cellar, when I heard a slight splashing in the dark. I saw the two yellow eyes shining like candles, and soon the boat touched shore. Eric jumped out and walked up to me. "You've been there for 24 hours, he said, "and you're annoying me. I tell you, all this will end very badly, and you will have brought it upon yourself, for I have been extraordinarily patient with you. You think you are following me, you great booby, whereas it's I who am following you, and I know all that you know about me here. I spared you yesterday in my Communist's Road, but I warn you seriously, don't let me catch you there again. Upon my word, you don't seem able to take a hint." He was so furious that I did not think for the moment of interrupting him. After puffing and blowing like a walrus, he put his horrible thought into words. "Yes, you must learn once and for all, I say, to take a hint. I tell you that, with your recklessness, for you have already been twice arrested by the shade in the felt hat, who did not know what you were doing in the cellars and took you to the managers, who looked upon you as an eccentric Persian interested in stage mechanism and life behind the scenes. I know all about it. I was there, in the office. You know I am everywhere. Well, I tell you that with your recklessness, they will end by wondering what you are after here, and they will end by knowing that you are after Eric, and then they will be after Eric themselves, and they will discover the house on the lake. If they do, it will be a bad lookout for you, old chap, a bad lookout. I won't answer for anything." Again he puffed and blew like a walrus. "I won't answer for anything. If Eric's secrets cease to be Eric's secrets, it will be a bad lookout for a goodly number of the human race. That's all I have to tell you, and unless you are a great booby, it ought to be enough for you, except that you don't know how to take a hint."